Open, if you would, to Matthew chapter 8. That's where we're going to be launching from this morning. Matthew chapter 8. Amen. I want to begin reading in verse number 14, just a couple of verses here. It says, "And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him." In Matthew chapter 8, there's a whole bunch of things going on, and we find ourselves kind of right in the middle of this chapter where we started reading. But in Matthew chapter 8, we see that Jesus has just come down off the mount where he gave the Sermon on the Mount. It's where we get the Mount of Beatitudes, or the Beatitude Mountain, and so on and so forth. He comes down from that Beatitude Mountain, and there's just tons of people there. You have to understand, he walked into literally a throng of people. Just people, people, people everywhere. Reminds me of the Atlanta airport. So right in the middle of coming down from preaching that Sermon on the Mount, he runs into this mob of people, crowd of people, and right in the middle of it, he meets this guy with leprosy. Leprosy is a terrible, terrible disease. If any of you all have ever looked at the internet and, you know, Googled leprosy, it's a hideous disease. And this guy asked Jesus to heal him. Then the next thing you see is Jesus has this encounter with a Roman soldier, a centurion, and he says his servant is really, really sick. And so he comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus, he says, "Man, Jesus, would you heal my servant?" And Jesus, all he does is he just sends the guy home. He sends this Roman centurion home, and he says that your servant is going to be well whenever you get there, basically. And then we get to kind of a really cool part in verse number 14, whenever he goes to Peter's house. Now, I'm just curious, any of y'all there with me that, you know, he's preached, he's ministered along the way, but now he's going to Peter's house. Do y'all have any idea why he's going to Peter's house? For some victuals. I mean, man, he's got to have worked up an appetite, amen? Tacos, burritos, you know, that Mediterranean food? No. Some good sweet tea. I don't know what it was that he was going for, but I have an idea. It could have been to maybe, you know, get in the easy chair and put the handle back and just, you know, kick back for a little while and maybe get some tamales. So now, one of the things you got to keep in mind here is that Jesus has just kind of met Peter 3 chapters ago. And now in chapter 4, he's invited by Peter and his brother, and I mean, he's just asked Peter and his brother Andrew to join the team, and now he's going into Peter's home. He's been invited to go into Peter's home. So this is kind of like Jesus' first kind of meet and greet the family kind of thing, because I have an idea up until this moment, Jesus didn't know Peter's wife, didn't know, you know, any of his in-laws, outlaws, so on and so forth. So this is kind of the first time. So he walks into Peter's house, and immediately we learn something about Peter, and this is it, that Peter obviously had a wife because he had a mother-in-law. In verse number 14, it says, "And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever." So some things that we learn about Peter is that he has a mother-in-law. And if he's got a mother-in-law, then obviously we know he's got a wife. Peter's married. He's one of the few disciples that the Bible tells us is married. You read through the rest of the scripture and the adventures of Peter, as you read through it, there's some real respect that we gain for Mrs. Peter. Amen? Can you imagine married to Mrs. Peter? Excuse me, Mr. Peter. If you were Mrs. Peter, I mean, Peter was the guy who was so impulsive. "Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. You'll never hear me denying you." And 3 times that night, he denies Jesus Christ. I mean, just moments earlier, he's cutting a guy's ear off that's trying to arrest Jesus. Are y'all with me? Jesus says, "Man, come on, Peter, what have you done now?" And he glued it back on with some super glue. No, he didn't. He healed the guy's ear. says, put your sword away. Peter was just always that kind of impulsive guy, and I have an idea that his wife knew that. Amen. You remember the time the dog got on Peter's yard? Peter came out throwing rocks and screaming. No, that's not biblical, but nevertheless. Peter was that guy, so we gain respect for Mrs. Peter. This lady definitely was a person who kept the home fires burning while her pastor, evangelist husband was out doing the things that God had called him to do. But for Peter's mother-in-law, there are some different fires burning. Jesus comes into the house, and one of the things that he's immediately confronted with is, verse 14 says, that his mother-in-law is lying sick with a fever. Can I ask y'all a question? How many of y'all have ever had a fever and you had to stay home from school? But it was a fake fever. Okay. Thank you. Nathan, you're homeschooled for heaven's sake. But if it works, man, it's all right. The Bible tells Peter's mother-in-law has a fever. Now, something that I didn't know about fevers until I started looking into this message is this. First of all, fevers weren't thought of in Jesus' day as we think of fevers today. Whenever you get up with a fever and you go, you know, I just feel a little hot, and you put the thermometer in your mouth and you know, you go, oh, yeah, I'm burning up. I've got a 99.1 fever. And I must be really sick. I got to stay home from school. And you know, you can get to about 99.5 by just rubbing it on your sleeve real fast. I shouldn't have did that in front of the kids. Now they know. No, in Jesus' day, whenever you had a fever, that wasn't a symptom of the sickness. That was actually the sickness. Are y'all with me? I mean, like today, we have cancer and malaria and emphysema, so on and so forth. Well, in Jesus' day, you could have cancer, emphysema, or a fever. If you had a fever, you had a sickness. Something else. A fever in the Old Testament had a greater theological significance, perhaps, than it did, I mean, does it in United day. According to Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, fever was a punishment sent by God to those who violated the covenant of God. It was considered a rabbinical tradition, a heavenly fire. If you disobeyed God, you could get a high fever. Now that's Old Testament, okay? So, why did I tell you all of that? Well, this is kind of it. Peter's mother-in-law is sick. She's in bed. She's got a fever. Was the fever a result of her disobedience to God's commandments? I don't know. Okay, so now don't read that into this. I don't know. Depending on what kind of relationship Peter had with his mother-in-law, he might be able to tell us. Come on, that'll sink in just a minute. See, this is... Okay, let me explain it to you. See, if Peter thought his mother-in-law was like a devil woman, you know, he would have pulled Jesus aside and said, it's punishment from God. Y'all there? Okay. I knew it wouldn't work. This is one thing that I do know is this, because I couldn't talk to Peter about his relationship with his mother-in-law. What we're about to see Jesus do is heal this woman. So one of the things that we know about this fever is that it was serious. She's sick, and it may or may not be because of her disobedience, but there's something that we can get from this no matter what. We either are or once were very much like Peter's mother-in-law. Now, hang on with me. This is a guy and girl kind of illustration here. We either are or we were like Peter's mother-in-law. Okay? And you go, yeah, I just told you, Pastor, I've had a fever and I got out of school because of it. Okay, no. You see, at one time in our lives, we were sick also with a fever. Or we still are sick with a fever. You know, some of the things that we do on a daily basis, we take for granted. Are y'all with me? Yesterday I was on my way home from Atlanta, and I was really in a hurry to get home because it had been a long week. And I just began to, and you guys got to hear this, because this is about all the commentary you're going to hear from me. My parents' home is very sad. It's just very, very sad. It just hurt my heart to see not only the spiritual condition, but just the condition overall that my parents are in. They're both past 85 years old, and they're old. There's a lot of things in their lives that just, I worked from the time I was there to the time I left fixing things. That morning I got up and got dressed, and the toilet broke. And so I fixed the toilet before I left. But coming home from Atlanta, it just began to hit me, because I was thanking God. I said, God, thank you for a safe trip. You know, thank you for a eventless trip for the most part, you know. All the planes were on time, you know, everything just went so smooth. I just was thanking him, you know. I was just thanking him. And then all of a sudden it just began to hit me, man. Whew. The power of God's grace. Because, but for the grace of God, that's me. Y'all understand that? I went and visited one of my uncles, my dad's brother, who is in his mid-80s as well, and he lives in a little tiny camper. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but he's a terrible alcoholic. He drinks beer from the moment he gets up until he goes to bed, and his whole life's work is a little camper. That's all he has. It's all he has to show for his whole life. An incredibly talented man, worked in carpentry and building all of his life, but yet he's just wasted it because he doesn't know Jesus. Grace is an amazing thing, people, and we take so much for granted. I mean, I listened to the conversations of my mom and dad, and one of the things that I picked up on is almost everything they talked about was negative. And all of a sudden it just began to register with me, that's not where my life is. My life is positive. I want to just thank this congregation for being positive people. Are y'all with me? I mean, I get around y'all and y'all don't bring me down. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, I've got a group of people that I run with that love Jesus Christ, and the grace of God has just been poured upon your lives. And I tell you, folks, sometimes we take that for granted. As I said, we're all kind of like Peter's mother-in-law. We've either been sick, oh, we are sick. See, we were sick because of what we call disobedience or sin. Sin is something that makes our whole bodies sick. Are y'all with me? It makes our spirits sick. And so while we don't know exactly what caused the sickness of Peter's mother-in-law, we do know that it could have been tied to her disobedience of God, because folks, until I was 18 years old, I was incredibly disobedient to God. I went my own way. I don't want anything to do with God. But then his grace found me. The Bible says he chose me, which is just it's so hard to get a hold of that he chose me. It could have been as a result of her disobedience to God. It could have been completely natural, but either way, whenever it comes to our condition, our spiritual sickness, we know that it's tied to disobedience, because that's where my spiritual sickness was. It was in disobedience to the Word of God. So it is, or it was, sin in a very serious way. See, there's a lot of people that are outside of the realm of our Christian circle that they're still sick. Amen? And this is what I've come to understand about my own life. I don't want to be a judge. You know, if you think about this, you know, all the people who sit in the bench, the courtrooms, I don't want to be a judge. I want to be a paramedic. I do. I want to be a paramedic. I want to be help to people who are hurting. Amen? Because that's what paramedics do. I mean, man, I was at Walmart in Alamogordo. Most of y'all have been there. My dad, he's not capable of walking the whole store, and so I'm shopping with my mom. My dad's sitting on a park bench there at the middle of the store. I came around the corner, and here's Alamogordo police officers, an EMS team. They got somebody on a stretcher, and I'm going, oh, no, my dad. Thankfully, it wasn't him. It was a lady who sat down next to him and had some type of seizure, and they called the ambulance and so on and so forth. And I imagine that her family and her was very glad that those EMS people showed up to give her the assistance she needed. Amen? I imagine my dad was glad because he was sitting right next to her. He said it really shook his day up. I want to be an EMS. Amen? I want to help people who are hurting. Now you have to understand that I'm talking purely about spiritual side of things. Amen? Some of y'all are thinking, he's going to change occupations. He's too old to do that. They don't want no old EMSs in there. Okay. Nevertheless, back to our story. Verse 15 goes on to say, so Jesus, mother-in-law is sick. We don't know exactly why. She's got a fever. But nevertheless, Jesus touched her hand. Jesus touched her hand. Probably wasn't any noise. I added that for effect. And it says the fever left. Fever left. I had that happen one time in my own life. My oldest son had a real bad fever, and we'd prayed for him, done everything I could possibly do, think we were not going to take him to the doctor because we were believing God to heal him, and his fever was about 105 degrees, and it was serious, and I held him up in my arms, and I said, Father, you're going to have to heal this baby, and I'm telling you instantaneously, not 2 minutes, not 5 minutes, not 1 minute, but I'm talking a split second, his fever dropped. I felt it in my arms. I could feel the heat change in his body, and he just relaxed. What happened to this lady, I guess? Jesus touched her hand instantaneously. It says the fever left her. And you go, well, I've had a fever before. I had a fever one time, real, real bad before school started. But then right after the bus went by, it left. I called my mom in. I said, Mom, a little angel came down, touched me on the head. He said, go out and play. Okay. So you think of this in the context, this lady has this bad fever. All of a sudden, Jesus touched her hand, her fever goes down. And I mean, it's no big deal, right? I mean, we can do Tylenol or ibuprofen, does the same thing. But whenever you look at it in the context of this chapter, I mean, Jesus had just healed a leper. Are y'all with me? Jesus had just sent the centurion home, and his servant was sick unto death, literally, and he's healed, and now he touches Peter's mother-in-law, and she gets healed. So this is kind of a pretty minor healing for Jesus. This lady just has a fever. But understanding more about what fevers could have been helps us appreciate this a little bit more now. This is also kind of cool because something else that you probably don't know in the rabbinic tradition is, of which Jesus was a rabbi, by the way, because people were always calling him rabbi, was that it was forbidden to touch somebody who had a fever. Are y'all with me? So Jesus is a rabbi, and so rabbis couldn't touch anybody that had a fever. Did you notice in the story of the leper in verse number 3, Matthew tells us that Jesus reached out and touched the leper. So again, Jesus, he didn't have to touch him to heal him, but he chose to touch to heal. I mean, can I just talk to y'all and you don't judge me? Some of you are going, nope, I'll judge you. So help me. I just don't know about touching a leper. Are y'all with me? I mean, now come on. Some of y'all are going, I'd do it. I'd do it in a million years. Leprosy is icky. And so I just, okay, this is the way I'd do it. Oh my goodness. You guys are not going to go with me anywhere today, are you? I mean, this leper guy, It's icky. I mean, he's got this skin condition that's just, they say that leprosy just oozes pus and it's just nasty and skin just starts disintegrating and falling off of the individual. I'm just telling you, but Jesus reached out and touched this guy. Did he have to touch him to heal him? Absolutely not. And we look and we think that it was kind of cool, but Jesus, I'm telling you, it was icky. I'm curious. What do you think Peter and the clan was doing? You know, like, ugh. If Mark Albrecht would have been there, he would have had this hand sanitizer going, Jesus, come here. I love you, Mark. Now, according to the rabbinical tradition, you got to understand that this fever thing, this leprosy thing, it was beyond icky. It was forbidden. All right, are you all with me? It just you're forbidden to do this. But the one thing that I love about Jesus is he wasn't ever much for useless rules. Can I just tell you something, folks? Even though I've made a big deal out of it, there's a lot of people in our community that have spiritual leprosy and they really, really, really need somebody to reach out and touch their lives. So Jesus touches her hand, the fever leaves her, and this was simply a fever because of a physical deficiency probably in her body, but it was still a huge miracle. But if this fever was caused by an issue of disobedience, like I mentioned a moment ago in her life, then this gets, just a touch from Jesus releases her from the result of sin. Now think about it either way. If it's just a regular fever caused by something that's messed up physically in her body, it leaves. Folks, y'all understand, that's a great miracle, amen? But if this is a fever caused by her disobedience, you guys got to put that in context too. Just a touch from the hand of Jesus literally releases her from the result of sin in her life. I'm just going to ask y'all a question. Everybody in here that has been released from the result of sin in your life from a touch from Jesus, y'all need to say amen right now. Amen. That's me. I mean, Jesus touched me. Oh, and this is what I know. Jesus touched me and he released me from the result of sin. Can I just make sure y'all understand this? That's the way it always was. That's the way it is today. And that's the way it always will be. That a touch from Jesus releases us. I mean, man, if you were once blind and now you see, you understand what I'm talking about. If you were dead, but now you are alive, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. So if this fever was caused by her sin, or even if it wasn't, nevertheless, she was healed. She no longer has to deal with the sickness that her fever has caused her. And how do we know that it's a big deal? You look at verse number 15. He touched her hand, the fever left her, and this is what she did. She arose and served him. Now, I preached all of what I preached already just to get to this one spot, because this is the whole basis for my message this morning. Every one of us that have been touched by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ should have some type of response to that grace. Are y'all there with me? You see, the response of Peter's mother-in-law was that whenever Jesus touched her life and she was healed, she got up and she served him. That's what the Bible said. There's some translations that actually says they got up, that she got up and served them, okay? But I'm not going to split hairs this morning. If she served them, hey, that's great, because she served Jesus and the body. Are y'all there with me? If she just served only him, I'm okay with that too. But you have to understand her response to the grace that the Lord Jesus Christ gave her. You see, if this was a spiritual condition, if it was caused by her disobedience, and in that moment Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her body. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? She said, man, I am thankful for the grace that was given to me. And she got up and she served him. You see, whenever you've been touched by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever you've been truly healed by Jesus, the most complete, the most immediate response to that is that you're going to get up and serve Him. I can remember years ago whenever I first got born again, and I've shared this story so many times, but this is where I was. I mean, I was just so grateful that Jesus got a hold of my life. I just never knew it was possible to feel the way that I feel. I never understood how I could be loved like Jesus loved me. And this is what I wanted to do. Are y'all with me? I wanted to go play golf so bad. Now back in the day, they didn't have the video games we have today, but I wanted to go play Pong. Did y'all have that on your TV? Pong. Boonk. 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 I'm joking, man. I don't want to play golf. I don't want to play Pong. I wanted to do something for Jesus Christ. That's what I wanted. I just wanted to do something. I went to the pastor of the church. He probably thought I was off of my rocker. I just told him, I said, Pastor, is there anything around this church I can do? I want to do something. And it wasn't for the church that I wanted to do it. I just wanted to do it for Jesus. Are y'all following what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I was there on my bed. I was sick. I had a fever. I'm telling you, it wasn't a fake fever. It was a real fever. And Jesus came into my life and He touched me. And the response to that touch was, I want to do something for Jesus. So the pastor's listening to me, and I mean, I can understand. I'm a pastor now, so I mean, I'm going like, okay, let's just step over here because we got a crazy one. Because see, once you've been in membership hundreds of years, are y'all with me? You know, you've joined the church, and man, you've done all that you're gonna do. You know, you've served your time in the nursery. I hate it whenever people say that. I've served my time in the nursery. What was it, a prison? Come on. Well, we really need to teach youth Sunday school. Nope, I've served my time in youth Sunday school. 7 years. Hard time. Solitary confinement. Shot bamboo shoots under my fingernails while I was in there. See, whenever we get old in the Lord, a lot of times what we do is we forget that first love. Are you following me? It doesn't make any difference if you're first born again or you've been in the kingdom 60 years. You ought to have something going on inside of you that says, I have been touched by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my response to that touch in my life is, I want to do something for my Jesus. Come on. I mean, that's what Peter's mother-in-law got up, and her response to what God had done is, I want to serve. I want to serve. I had that pastor kind of cornered. I said, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Give me something to do. And you know, his head's going 900 miles an hour. We really don't have anything for you to do because you're kind of freaky. But he finally said, listen, we've got a fenced in area, it's a parking lot, and the wind blows it. How many of y'all know the wind blows in New Mexico? Okay, well, it blows and it blows up tumbleweeds. They have tumbleweeds there. You guys don't have tumbleweeds here. But he said, it's caught a lot of tumbleweeds, caught a lot of trash, and we really need somebody to clean that up. This was a large fence that went around the church parking lot, gravel parking lot. I said, yeah! I'm telling you, man, I went out there and I cleaned that dude up like I was cleaning it up for King Jesus. Are y'all following me? I didn't go out there and tell him, I'm going to pick up trash. That's all I got. What we do, pick up trash. Get these weeds out of this chain link fence. I didn't do that. I went outside and there was something on the inside of me that was nothing but pure joy. I walked around that fence and I'm telling you, I cleaned that dude up. That dude has never been as clean since I cleaned it that day. You go there right now, you go, man, what a mess it's gotten in since JD left. Pastor Rick knows what I'm talking about. But that day, it was amazing that I could do something for Jesus Christ. That's the way it ought to be. If you have been touched by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought to be something churning in you that just says, man, I want to serve Him. I want to serve Him. I want to serve Jesus. There is a heart of gratitude. There is a heart of thanksgiving in me. And oh God, I know I can't repay you. There's no way I could ever repay you. And this isn't about working your way to heaven, y'all. y'all understand what I'm saying? Because remember, you've already gotten saved by grace. I clean that fence up, man. You know, that pastor never said a word to me about that. He didn't come back around and say, man, you really did a good job. I was waiting. Every time I'd go up to him and go, huh, I'm the guy who cleaned the fence. Never had a word for me. So I got mad and I quit the church. Got mad. I said, listen, man, if he doesn't tell me thank you for doing it, I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to go over to that other assembly, whatever this name was. Remember, they had weird people there. That's why we didn't go. I'm kidding, but they know I'm telling the truth. No, you know what? I didn't need a thank you from the pastor. Come on. I didn't need anybody to come behind me and pat me on the back. You know why? Because I didn't do it for anybody but Jesus. Come on. I didn't do it for anybody but Jesus. That's the only person I did it for, was Jesus Christ. I went out there and I did it for Jesus Christ. And you go, Pastor, you're a special person. No, I was just so in love with Jesus. And I looked at myself coming back yesterday from Atlanta. That's what sparked this whole message. And I said, man, folks, what is our response to grace? God has saved me. He has redeemed me. He has changed the course of my life. By the grace of God, there go I. Because not only are my mom and dad in that position, but I got two older brothers that are in that position. I've got uncles and aunts that are in that position. I told Rick this morning, I said, God has been so good to us. He gave us both salvation. He gave us both godly wives. He's given us family. I have an amazing family. By the way, it's getting a little bit bigger. Some of y'all haven't heard that. Nora is being evicted from her crib on May the 13th. Of 2018. Because she's going to have a little brother or sister. Folks, you got to understand, though. That's the grace of God. That's the grace. The grace that has been poured out upon my life. That's the grace. I'm thankful for that grace. Sometimes I take it so for granted. I just get up and I go through my day and I don't think about how awesome the grace of God is. Man, He's blessed me. You know, some people say, Pastor, it's so hard. I know with your wife's sickness and so. Folks, you got to understand, there are moments that are difficult, but it's never hard because Jesus has me in His hand. He says that He makes the weak strong. That is His promise to us. And you know, the only way that I can deal with it is because Jesus is in my life. The only way that my wife can deal with it is because Jesus is in her life. The grace of Jesus surrounds our house. Amen? The grace of Jesus surrounds our children. The grace of Jesus surrounds our minds. So what is our response to that grace? Can I just tell y'all something? This picture of Peter's mother-in-law is so absolutely perfect. Because this is it. We've been saved to serve. So some of y'all, you know, that love to be first in line. And sometimes I have to make an announcement on the Sunday mornings that we go across the street to eat a fellowship meal. I said, oh, hey, everybody, the seniors, let them go first, please. And let our visitors go first. Because there's some people go, I'm getting in line first. I'm getting mine. Can I have two plates? I'm get all the good food first before somebody gets there. See, if that's the way your mentality is, you need to change it. Because the Bible says this is the way to get to be first in the kingdom. This way that says. It says to become the servant of everyone. And you will be first in the kingdom. Now, you have to understand, Jesus already really taken first spot because He's the servant of everybody. He served us with His death. Amen? But you want to get big in the kingdom of God, you got to understand, you got to quit trying to put yourself first and you got to put everybody else first because we've been redeemed to serve, period. End of discussion, end of story. So I'm going to go into a couple of points real quick. It's only going to take me maybe another hour and a half, so this is it. Have you found and committed to an area of service for God and His church? That's where I'm going. And if you found an area of service, if you found a place to serve God, if you found a place to serve His church, because it's just like Peter's mother-in-law, one translation says, she got up and she served them. So that's okay. That's fine with me. Some translations say they got up and he served him. And that's, again, okay. That word in Greek is very obscure. It's very hard to translate, and it could either be translated either way, actually. So if you found that place to serve, you realize that you've been redeemed to serve, and you found that place to serve in the church, you found that place to serve God, this is it. How is your commitment to that service? How is your commitment to that service? You see, after you've determined where you're going to serve in response to your healing, are y'all there? I've been healed. God healed me from a high fever that was produced because of my disobedience to God. Are y'all with me? Not physically, I didn't have a high fever, but my spirit was on fire. Hallelujah. Okay? Brought it down to normal in one night. So, in response to your healing, the next question that you have to ask yourself is, how is that commitment that you have to that service? You see, are you committed to carrying out your service to the things God has called you to consistently and faithfully? Now, yeah, y'all remember I was a children's pastor for a lot of years, and Winston-Salem, we had over 400 staff members that served every week in our children's department. Over 400 staff members. And this is what would happen occasionally. We would have staff members that didn't show up. Let me rephrase that. It happened all the time. We had staff members that didn't show up. We had people that were full-time substitutes. They would just go from one class to the next class to the next class weekly so as that they could fill in for people. And some people, they, you know, had legitimate excuses. You know, they lost a leg. It was in our instruction manual, if you lost a leg, you can stay home for 1 week. A lot of times what happens, though, whenever we volunteer for a job, in other words, we're touched by the grace that Jesus Christ has given us, and we want to serve, and then we volunteer to serve, we can sometimes not be as consistent as we need to be. Now, that was very politically correct the way I said that, right? We can not be as consistent as we need to be. In other words, we just wake up one Sunday morning and look at the clock. I'm going back to sleep. I don't care about church today. Those 11 junior hires that are in my class, they bit me last week anyway, so I ain't going back. But you have to understand, whenever you don't show up, there's a hole. So my question is, how have you been? How's your commitment level been? Are you been consistent? Are you been faithful? Let me just do away with all that. Forget those last few lines. And let's just talk about being faithful, because really that's what committed is. Amen? It's just being faithful. And how many of y'all know that that's the only thing we're going to be rewarded for in heaven is faithfulness? Y'all know that? Whenever he gets to the gate, you know, he's welcoming us in, and you know, we're there. Yes, I got to heaven. And he's there. He's not going to say, come in, you amazingly talented guy. Come on in here. Come on in. He's not going to say, at least to me, I know, he's not going to say, come on in, you brainiac guy, you smart, you Mr. Intelligent. Come on in. Nobody needs to be amen in that right now, because I said me. Gosh. You see, the only thing that God is going to reward us for, he's going to come in. He's going to say, you guys come in, my faithful servants. Are y'all? It's not about being educated. It's not about how strong we are. It's not about how we comb our hair. It's about the faithfulness that you and I have. Can I just tell y'all this? Faithfulness is so incredibly hard to find in the kingdom today. I mean, faithful people. Can I just tell you what I believed whenever I first started in church? Now, you have to understand, nobody's telling me this stuff. Nobody's standing over me feeding this information. But I just thought, I just get born again. Are y'all with me? And I just thought, once I got born again, I thought every time the church had something, I was supposed to go. I'm just telling you about me. I thought that my life needed literally to be ordered around the church. So if there was something on a Wednesday night, I'd say, can't do that. I'm going to church. Are y'all with me? If something happened on a Sunday, I said, nuh-uh, I'm going to church. I just felt that impulse in me. Nobody told me that. I just thought that you should be faithful to the house of God. Are y'all with me? I raised my church kids that way. Whenever they early on went out looking for jobs, I told them, I said, you can have a job. All you want to have a job, fine. But just make sure you understand, your boss understands this. You're not going to work on Sundays. You're not going to work on Wednesdays. I said, the job's just not going to take precedent over it. They had to pass over jobs occasionally because they said, well, you're going to have to work on Wednesday. And they said, well, I'm not going to because my dad will shoot me if he... I just thought that was important, being faithful to the house of God. Being faithful in our giving. Being faithful in our giving. Being faithful with our service to God. Being faithful. That's all we're going to be rewarded for, is our faithful. It's like this. Can God depend on you to do what he's called you to do? That's it. Okay, can I just make y'all squirm just a little bit? See, God not only wants you to be faithful to what he's called you to do, but he wants you to be faithful to what you've been gifted to do as well. I mean, I was at a church one time, and an individual had been sitting there a long time in the church, and we needed a bass guitar player because our bass guitar player moved to Phoenix. That's a dumb place to live anyway. But he moved to Phoenix, and we had a guy that came up to me, and he said, I mean, we've been months with a guitar sitting there on the platform just like that and sitting there. He said, you know, I can play the guitar, bass guitar. He said, I've played in this band and that band and this band and that band. He said, I'm a really good guitar player. And I said, what? All this time the thing's been sitting there and you haven't been playing? Well, I really don't want to play in the church. But see, now this was Montana, so we could actually, we hung him. And it's different here in North Carolina. At least in the western mountains. In the coast, they actually can still hang them there. But anyway. You know, are y'all seeing what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes we sit on our gifts. We don't do our gifts. God gifts us a special way. And you see, he sends us to a specific body because that body needs that gift. And sometimes we sit on it. We go, I'm not going to do that because, you know, I've already served my time in the nursery. Okay. I knew I'd come back to that eventually. A little observation about this story about Peter's mother-in-law. I mean, whenever you first read this story, because this is kind of the way it was when I first read this story, Peter's mother-in-law's sicker than a dog, evidently. She's got this fever. She's laying there in bed. Jesus come in. He touched her, and she's healed. Now, just go with me here. Don't you think it would have been okay if she just went ahead and stayed in bed for another couple of hours, a week, a day? Listen, man, I've had a high fever like that before. And you know, whenever that fever breaks and all of a sudden you know you're on the mend, you don't just want to get up and go weed eat. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking to myself, you know, it would have been okay if, you know, I think she would have been completely justified if she's, you know, called Peter in and goes, oh, Peter. You know how mother-in-laws get so dramatic, you know. Oh, Peter. You know, I know he touched me and I know my fever's gone, but I'm telling you, you're going to have to help your wife because I can't get up and cook those beanie weenies. I just can't do it. It's 2 weeks still. But his mother-in-law didn't do that, did she? She got up immediately and started serving. See, I think one of the greatest things you can do with young Christians is to get them serving. You know, I mean, I get Dalton sitting here, and you know, he helps out in children's church almost every Sunday. And his brother, he's gone to, where is your brother, by the way? Okay, this sermon should have been for him. Yeah? He should be running the sound. We got to get our young people involved. You know, we got to get new Christians involved. We need to get them serving. Because that's what you do. Whenever you first get saved, you really don't need to be sitting around doing nothing. Your response to that grace needs to be that you do something for the kingdom of God. No excuses. You can't say, I'm wiped out. I was up all night. You just need to get going for Jesus Christ. So how is your commitment to service? Next question is this: how is your attention to service? And whenever I say attention to service, basically I mean this. It says, are you committed to being here whenever you are needed to be here? Your attention to service. The details. Doing it to the best of your ability. How many of you all know that we should strive for excellence in the kingdom of God? We really should. We should strive for excellence. And sometimes I need to get on my own self, because sometimes, you know, so it's like, you know, who used to sing that song? Doris Day, you know, que sera, sera, you know, whatever will be, will be. We should never be, have that attitude. I shouldn't know Doris Day sing that song, should I? Because that was in the 50s. But we shouldn't have that attitude. We should say, listen, man, the kingdom of God demands excellency. Little story. One time, a gentleman was going into a conference, and he arrived early for that conference, and he arrived very early. He was the guy that thought, you know, if you're an hour early, it's almost late. So he said, as he was going into the door, there was a college-age kid out, and he was knelt down on the sidewalk, and he was digging something out of the sidewalk with his pocket knife. And so as he walked by, he said, hey, man, what are you doing? And he says, I'm getting this trash out from between the crack and the sidewalk. And the guy goes, okay, why? And he said, because before any event at our church, we go out all over the campus and we make sure everything is exactly like it needs to be. And he said, there was some trash stuck down in this crack, and so I had to get it out. You see, how is your attention to service? Whenever we were in Winston-Salem, we had a huge nursery. We had about 200 babies every Sunday morning. 200 babies. And we had ladies that... Our nursery was all volunteer. One paid person, and that was the director. She ran it. All volunteers. People that said, yes, I will go back, and I will bless the babies. And these women used to take these, well, it wasn't just women, we had a lot of guys back there as well, but they used to take these babies and they'd walk around with them, you know, little babies, I mean, little tiny guys, you know, 7, 8 years old, and they would, just seeing if you're awake, they'd walk them around and they said, you know, Jesus loves you. They had all these little flashcards and these aprons, and they'd pull them out and they'd show them a picture, like a family picture, and they said, you know, man, you're so glad to be born in the family. You got a mom, you got a dad that loves you, and they bring you to church on Sundays. They'd walk these little babies around. The babies were eating on them cards. You could actually wipe them off because they were like laminated, you know, so we wiped them off once a month. No, I'm kidding. They did it every Sunday. You know, they did such a superior job. Our nursery volunteers, I walked by one time and there they are down in the floor. Got a senior citizen down in the floor with little kids crawling all over him, and he's loving on those babies. I mean, every once in a while I get somebody coming out of the nursery that didn't get to sit in here on Sunday morning, and they're bragging about it. I got to be with the babies today, Pastor. Sorry, I missed your sermon. I mean, you got to measure out those little cups of goldfish crackers. And this is what I found out. You have to put the right size diaper on them babies as well. But you know, if measuring out the goldfish and putting the right size diaper on that baby... If you think that's the biggest thing that you do for the kingdom, think about this just for a minute. Somebody rocked Billy Graham in the nursery. Come on, think about that just for a minute. See, if you serve in any area of ministry, here or in any other church, are you faithfully going that extra step above and beyond, carrying out even the smallest of details in service? Does it matter to you what people think about God as He is reflected in the area of ministry that you are in? And now, I kind of laid the heavy on you. I said all of that to make sure you understand where we're at, but now I want to tell you why we're there. In other words, why it's important to be faithful, why it's important to attend to every detail in the service that you're doing for God, because there's a reward for our service. How many of y'all knew there's a reward for what we do for the kingdom of God? Did you know that in the kingdom thinking, it's kind of odd what our reward is? Because now, see, whenever we do a job, we want a reward for it. I want cash, please. But do you know the reward in the kingdom is a little bit odd? Do you know what the reward is? If you serve God here on this earth, and you are diligent about your service, you're committed to your service, you're faithful to your service, you look at all the little details and you do your service to the best of your ability for God, you know what God's going to do for you? This is the way He's going to reward you. He's going to reward you with more service. I mean, think about it. If you did that to your kids, you know, say, kids, you did such a great job of vacuuming the living room. Now you're going to get to vacuum the whole house. Your kids are going to go. But in God's kingdom, see, it's a little twisted. It's twisted. He says, listen, if you do an excellent job, if you're faithful, if you're there, if you're committed, if you're attention to details, if you're doing it with all that is in you, let me tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get to do some more for me. People go, oh man, I can't do anymore. Let me read it. This is Matthew 25. It says, when the master returned to find what his three servants had done with the talents that he had given them, his response to the faithful servants was full of praise. He said, well done, my faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Come on. I mean, everybody's going, I don't want anything else to do. I'm going to do my job lousy for God. See, this is it. Whenever God knows that He can trust you with small service, He'll put you in a position to handle bigger and more and bigger and more. That's what God does. Let me explain something to you. I do not believe that I would have ever been where I am right now in the ministry. I don't believe God would have ever used me in the way that He has used my life. I had to clean that fence back about 37 years ago. You have to understand, whenever God first called me into the ministry, I mean, I finally figured out that God's calling me to preach. Because I was, my mother shared a story with me whenever I was little. I used to tell my mother, now she may be making this up for all I know, because she made up a lot of stories about me. So if she ever comes here and talks to you, just say, you're probably making that up. Okay? But my mother told me this. She said, I used to tell her, I would never be a preacher. I'll be. My wife said she'd never marry a preacher, so I guess God stung us both. Amen? God calls me into the ministry, and I finally get it. I'm going into the ministry. And so this is what I asked Him. I said, so God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You want me to go be Billy Graham's right-hand man? Yeah. Except I really didn't say that. I want to be Jimmy Swagger's right-hand man. So some of y'all, it's just got to give me grace there. First thing God asked me to do after He called me into the ministry was, this is what He told me. He said, I want you to clean the toilets. That's what He told me. Spoke to my heart. And I go, great. I love to clean toilets, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. About a week later, our pastor came up to us and he says, listen, our janitor quit. Actually, he ran away because the church is so messy. Do you and your wife want to clean the church? And I heard the voice of God say, yep, you're going to do it. So we cleaned the church. Cleaned the toilets. Every Sunday morning, whenever those little kids came to the front glass, did you know that they do not push on the push bars? They just get it with their little hands. And in fact, sometimes they get it with their whole face. They just push out. So the next day, whenever I come in and looked at the door, I could see, I could actually tell what child went out that door by looking at their face print. Every once in a while, I'd find a face print way up here, and I'd think, hey, that was an adult. You see, I don't think I would have ever been where I was at, where I'm at now, if I hadn't have said yes to the things that God had called me to do. You see, what I'm saying to you, there is a reward for service. Whenever you prove yourself doing it right as a janitor, cleaning up the fence outside the parking lot, are you with me? Then God says, listen, I will promote you. I will give you more and more responsibility. There's every once in a while in my own life that I call out to him and say, God, I got enough on my plate. I'm going to start doing my job lousy. The Bible says, so he touched her hand and the fever left, and she arose and she went and served him. So here's kind of the obligating question that we all have to kind of hear today before we leave. Where are you serving? Where are you serving? How is your commitment to the place of service that you have? What's your attention to that place of service? How do you see the details? And lastly, can you be trusted with more? And so, Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning, let me just ask this of everybody that calls Trinity home. If you guys are already committed to a place of service, an area of ministry, then it is your challenge, it is my challenge, to step it up a notch. Are y'all with me? I really believe we can do things better than we do them right now. I really do. Y'all shouldn't be saying amen that loud. I'm just kidding. No, I'm serious. I think everything that we do, I think we can do it better. Are y'all with me? So if you've already got that place of service and you're faithful to it, maybe you're not as faithful to it as you want. So, I mean, you know, Preston, if he's not really sick, we're going to go over after lunch and we're going to beat the talk. Just me and you, Dalton, in love. We're going to lay hands on him and the sick will recover. So anyway, are y'all with me? I mean, are you faithful where God has called you to be? Are you there whenever you're needed to be there? Can you take it up a level? Can we do it better? This morning, that's if you found your place of service. But if you haven't found a place of service yet, you need one. You need one. Last week, I left here, and now, please don't misunderstand this. I'm not preaching this message this morning to get the work day all covered. But I left here last Sunday morning, and there were two jobs on the sheet that somebody had signed up for. And it was my lovely secretary who had put her name on the sheet. And I felt like nobody wants to do anything in the kingdom. But then I come home and they clean the ceiling, they move cross ties already. And so I know we've got so many workers here, but we ought to get every one of those jobs covered. It's something that needs to be done in the kingdom. And if we don't do it with volunteer labor, we're going to have to pay for it. And if we pay for it, that's money that could be going out to ministry someplace else. Are y'all with me? I'm going to tell you something. Pastor Rick and I can't do everything. Can I also tell you this? The Bible hasn't called us to do everything. He's called us to shepherd the sheep, and the sheep are supposed to do the sheep stuff. And so this morning, if you haven't found a spot, you need to find a spot. You need to say, Pastor, I'm willing to do whatever needs to be done. And then whenever you find what you're supposed to be doing, you need to do it faithfully. Do it with a commitment level that is above anything else that you have committed to. Do it with a firm attention to details. Do it so that God can trust you with more. Serve Him. Serve Him out of a heart of gratitude for the grace that He has put in your life. You see, this morning, I'm going to just be real frank with you. I don't want you to do one single thing for me. I don't want you to come for me and say, Pastor, I really feel like you want me to do something. Don't do that. Just look at your life and look at what Jesus has done for you. And then serve Him out of that grace that's been applied to your life. If maybe you've been in the kingdom a while and all of that gratitude, all of that
initial love has just kind of dripped off along the way this morning, I challenge you to go after your first love. Just to revisit that place where you got born again. Revisit that place where His grace was applied to your life. I will tell you this. There is no shortage right now to the people who need us to serve their lives. We need to serve the body of Christ, but we also need to serve this community that's around us. God has strategically placed this ministry right where it's at so as that we could serve the community that's around us, to serve them. And I know this morning I'm preaching to the choir for a little bit, but I know that we can do more than we do. I know that there's something else that we can do for the kingdom. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this message. I thank you for the word, Father God, that speaks to us this morning.